And that does it for another edition of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Senior producers are Kevin Pina and Miguel Gavilan Molina. Technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
And now I'm joined by Ty Ingram. Ty is a 17-year-old, soon-to-be 18-year-old, recent graduate from Catholic Central High. Ty is headed to Spelman in the fall and has been organizing with the PDX Black Youth Movement. Thanks for joining me, Ty.
Nice to be here.
So the PDX Black Youth Movement is planning protests and other events in response to the killing of George Floyd and racism and tragedy of police murdering Black people. And you have been really doing some amazing work. I want to hear a little bit about what the PDX Black Youth Movement is and how you started organizing.
Yeah, so the PDX Black Youth Movement, there's 13 girls and 3 boys, ranging from ages 16 to 21. So we're all pretty young. All of us are still in school, either high school or college. We all started those first few nights after George Floyd was murdered, protesting downtown during the riots. A lot of us were there, down by the Justice Center and just downtown Portland in general. And as time went on, we just built a relationship between all of us because we were showing up every day. There was a lot of times where we're just like feeling the trauma and emotions of all the protesting. So we just came together as one and we're coming together to like find solidarity and support in that emotion. And we were the only ones that we saw there. It was a bunch of Black girls, but we all naturally just came together. And we started with a group of adults that were organizing and then slowly saw that it was just not the right place for us. So we disconnected from that group and created PDX Black Youth Movement.
You all have kind of 4 areas where you've released very big and visionary demands. Mm-hmm. And one of those areas is around healthcare, and it includes some systemic changes that you'd like to see in the food system. And this show is about food issues, so I thought I'd ask you, you know, in what ways have you felt or observed racism in the food system?
Yeah, just like if you look around and notice what type of grocery stores or food options are provided in Black neighborhoods compared to white neighborhoods, like if we look at North Portland and what's offered around there, do you see a Trader Joe's? Do you see a Whole Foods? What do you see that's provided to those Black folks compared to what you see in gentrified Northeast Portland, where there are 10 Trader Joe's and 3 Whole Foods, and there's plenty of just healthy food options, such as, you know, there's a salad bar down the street, or there's a vegan option. If you look in Black neighborhoods, those are almost, you can almost never find those. So racism and food would look like, well, fixing the problems within racism and food will just be giving Black people more resources to healthy food options, putting a Trader Joe's in a Black neighborhood, or just putting healthier food options and not just fast food. And because we all know, if you eat a bunch of fast food, if you don't have those healthy food options, then you just don't have much longevity of life. And that's another way that we're killing Black people, is by not giving them healthy options for food.
Thanks. I think it's interesting that you use Trader Joe's as an example, because on MLK in Alberta, there was, you know, there was a proposed Trader Joe's, and Black leaders in Portland actually stopped that development from moving forward and anchoring with Trader Joe's a few years ago. And then, you know, instead it became a natural grocer's, became that anchor grocery store. And so it's interesting to think about how, you know, you as a younger person see Trader Joe's in a different light than the older organizers who fought against having that Trader Joe's come in. But at its core, what I hear you saying is there aren't enough affordable, healthy options for people in historically and currently Black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, Trader Joe's for a lot of older Black people, or just, like, my mom's generation, is, like, it kind of represents, like, gentrification, because you only see the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods in the gentrified areas. So I think, like, growing up, when you see that Trader Joe's, if you're, like, that older generation, you're going to think, oh, this probably was something else that was a Black person's home or, you know, business or whatever, that's now been replaced by Trader Joe's. And I think, like, historically, that has what's been happening in Portland. Like, you go down in Northeast Portland, and where the Trader Joe's is used to be something else. So I think it kind of, for that generation, a Trader Joe's or Whole Foods kind of represents gentrification. I think that's kind of the scary thing for older Black people.
So you guys actually have demands on other areas, and one of them is about housing and property, and then you also have policing and around education. Can you tell us a little bit more about your demands?
So our demands, we took a very long time on them, because we felt it was extremely important to just do as much research as possible, and also, like, make it very, they just have, like, a lot of emotions behind them, because there was, like, three meetings where we all just sat down and talked about all of, like, the racism we had ever faced in all of these different sectors in our lives. So it's definitely a policy driven list of demands, but it's also a very personal list. That then these are all demands that affected us so greatly that we felt like they had to be written down, and someone had to hear something about them. So it was definitely a group collective of us coming together and just saying, like, we're tired of this and that and this, and that's how the demands kind of came together. And then we obviously did a more professional wording of all of our traumas and everything, and then figured out what do we do to create a more just and equitable system from all this racism and trauma we had endured all of our lives. And a lot of the questions we asked over and over again was, like, what would our children do to combat this issue? Like, if you're facing racism in school, what would we do to help our children not face that anymore? And a lot of times that's what we asked ourselves, and how we created that was the demand.
Who is your target for these demands? Like, how are you moving this work forward?
Mm-hmm. Right now, I think we're really trying to get non-Black people to feel or just empathize with the experience of a Black person, especially a Black woman, because most of us are Black women, and people have never heard a lot of our stories about, like, all the racism we have faced. So right now we're kind of targeting and trying to connect with the emotions of non-Black people and our experiences, and kind of educate them on our experiences, because we've noticed that the more you talk about the trauma, the more people can kind of conceptualize it and think, oh, I need to do something about this. So right now, definitely trying to talk to non-Black people, because they have a lot more power than us right now, as we know. Like, if you have privilege, you can do something with it. So a lot of our work is trying to get people to use their privilege in the right way, or just listen to us and act on kind of their human tendencies. Like, if you hear someone experiencing a trauma, then you do something about it. And that's what we've seen been able to work so far.
Yeah, and I have to say, I went to your health equity protest last week, and it was very impactful to hear speaker after speaker get up on the back of a truck and just share very personal stories of racism and other kinds of discrimination that you face. And, you know, when you hear one young person get up and say, a teacher didn't listen to me, I was discriminated against, you're like, yeah, like, teachers don't listen to students. That's how it works. The administration doesn't listen. They're discriminating against you based on your age. But then you hear over and over and over from the speakers, I was discriminated against, and I believe that it was because of my race. And it doesn't matter the intent or how, in what way the principal or the coach or the teacher or the nurse was being discriminatory, it's racism. And so I think you are making like a really clear impact on people. And me as a white person, I just was blown away by how deep the connections you're making between your own personal experiences and the experiences that Black people around the United States are going through. And these demands, I encourage everybody to read them. They can read them on Instagram, right? What's your Instagram?
Our Instagram is BX Black Youth Movement, and movement is spelled MVMT.
So at PDX Black Youth MVMT. Yep. So yeah, I encourage everybody to go out and read your demands. And then do you have any other asks, like, of people who are listening to the show? What can people do to support your work?
I think really just showing up to our events. A lot of times we talk about, like, protesting is kind of a therapy for us sometimes, because it's nice to see people out there supporting you and what you're doing and just being there with you through all of this trauma and all of this mess. It's nice to see people still like coming out and just listening to what you have to say, because a lot of times as Black women, as Black young people, we haven't felt listened to. So just seeing people come out and listen to you is a big, just like, relief. It's a nice thing to just see people sitting there and listening to you for the first time in your life. And I think that's something we all needed as Black women, and that's what we've gotten through this experience.
So awesome. Is there any other way that people can support you besides showing up?
You can donate. We have a Cash App. It's the same as our Instagram. And our Venmo is also the same as our Instagram, PDX Black Youth MVMT.
Do you have any protests coming up?
We have an event this Saturday. It's our Black Girl Magic event. And there's going to be a marketplace, performances. We just want to create another space for Black women to just be themselves and showcase their talents and just feel supported by the community, because I know there's not a lot of opportunities for us to do so. So we're inviting some Black women artists and singers and just Black women that sell their products, and just give them a space to thrive and be seen for the first time ever.
Do you want to talk more specifically about any of your demands, or share a personal story?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit. I mean, I feel like I have very personal stories for every single demand, because that was kind of like how we did them, was very personal stories. But I definitely like to share them because I think they're nice for people to hear. I think I can talk about police, because usually people like hearing about police and what we have to say about policing. So I'll just read like our most prominent one. So obviously we're talking about police majority of the time, because that's what kind of fueled this Black Lives Matter movement. The killing of George Floyd, the killing of Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, et cetera, there's way too many names. So our demands for policing and jail: abolish the police system as we know it and provide law enforcement through more trained and specific professions such as social work, medical help, counselors, et cetera. And I'm just going to explain why, because I think a lot of people get confused or just like a little bit scared or nervous by the term abolishing the police. So abolishing the police doesn't necessarily mean abolishing law enforcement. It does mean abolishing cops as we know it. We know cops are trained as well as they should be. We know cops have these very racial bias tendencies. We know cops are killing Black people at a higher rate. We know cops are targeting people of color at a higher rate. So abolishing police would just look like we abolish cops as we know it. And instead of calling someone that would come with a badge and a gun, if you're having a domestic violence situation, maybe you would call someone specifically trained in social work. Or maybe if you're having an issue with your partner in a domestic violence situation, you wouldn't call someone with a badge and a gun. Once again, you would call someone that's specifically trained for that situation to help you in that situation. Because we all know, like, there are certain situations police just can't help. And police come after crimes. So what do we do to stop those crimes from happening in the first place? And there's been experiments done on how to decrease crime. And decreasing crime means you increase resources. So if we gave people food and we gave people housing and gave people proper health care, then studies have been shown to prove that crime rates diminish spectacularly. And we see that in white neighborhoods. If you have a very predominantly white neighborhood that's very wealthy and they have all the resources and they have their kids are told that they can accomplish their dreams and their goals, then crime rates highly diminish. They don't see that as much in black neighborhoods because we aren't given the resources. So that was a very long way of saying abolish the police, and that's why. Not because we don't want people to be accountable for their crimes, but we do want to not see black people killed as often, and we don't want to see the same system in which black people are constantly being threatened and profiled. So that's about it.
Thank you for sharing that. Thanks so much, Kai, for joining me today. You are all amazing and inspiring, and I can't wait to get back out in the streets with you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. I'm
Thank you. We'll be right back. Thank you. KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.